Okay, we're live. Welcome to another NerdStalker Tech Week Update with the CES edition with my host, co-hosts.
Hello, I am Adolfo Ferranda at NerdStalker, at A Ferranda on Twitter.
And the other co-host.
Hey, I'm Johnny Mota. I am at JMOTA, the number 3. I follow you probably from a distance, just not on Twitter.
All the time. Well, thanks, guys, for joining us here tonight. So we're going to talk CES, right? That's what we're here for.
Yeah.
So who wants to start? I got some. You got some?
Go ahead, Greg.
Okay, let me start here. Yeah, let me start off here. Let's see. So anyway, we don't really do this here on NerdStalker, but we have some picks this year on our favorites of CES, and I want to pick my first one, which is the most simplest device, and it's called a clip-a-phone called Cap. I thought this was a really kind of cool thing. So this is supposed to replace your GoPro for $20 here. So it takes your cell phone, clips onto your hat, and basically follows you around like a GoPro. I thought this was the most simplest thing to come along that in my world. That's the lowest tech thing at CES. So this is the clip-a-phone, they say, is a brainchild of Paul D'Angelo, who's famous, let me scroll down here, to this famous movie called Sleepaway Camp in 1983.
How about those shorts?
Yeah, hey, those are 1983 shorts, I think. But anyway, this is what he looks like today. But it clips onto your hat, and you have a flat brim hat like Johnny over there. You could put this your phone on it. So anyway, comments from the peanut gallery.
Hands free.
Right. I hope it comes with a rear weight.
Yeah, I could see that.
Counterbalance,
right?
I'm wondering
how many of those we're gonna sell, like one of those impulse buys when you get into the store, right?
Totally.
It's like the front line, like chocolate bar, energy drink, clip a phone.
Yeah, clip a phone. I know.
I could see this on Shark Tank now. You're right, right? I mean, it's gonna go on the QVC ladies.
Totally. Next to the Slap Chop, and yeah.
Right?
Oh, that would be a good infomercial.
Anything on sale at Target or something? Yeah.
I see this. I mean, it's cheap enough to go on that. I don't know how he did at CES, but apparently it's not exactly available yet, but soon.
So well, I'm sure he was the hit of CES, without a doubt.
anyone wearing those shorts at CES is definitely a hit.
Yeah.
Phone and those shorts, winning combination, especially in the desert.
Yeah.
On a star of a B-thriller movie needs a little more respect than that from 1983. Anyway, who wants to go next?
Nice pick.
Thanks, man. I thought we'd get that started with the shorts.
Good man. So I got some. I'll let's see. Where's the let's see if I can. Okay, it's pulling on the screen here. Boom! You see that? Anyone?
Thermo.
So this is WeThings, a company came out with something Greg might put in the wrong place. It's called Thermo, the 16-sensor one-touch Wi-Fi thermometer reinvented. It did get, as you can see, a CES 2016 Honoree Innovation Award, so it's kind of low-hanging fruit here. But what's kind of neat about this thing is that I love all these wee things, simple things, and the Hue and these overpriced kind of things. But as you can see, $100 upper right-hand corner here. That's what they're saying. You basically just press it against your temple, and it gives you your temperature, right? And then you can. What's kind of cool about it too is that there's a associated app also, right? And you can have like different profiles. I believe it's up to 8 different profiles. So if you got like a family, a kid, whatever, blah, blah, whatever. And also, it's it's hygienic, so you're not sticking this thing under your tongue, or as I said, Greg might put it somewhere else. And
your
ear or anything like that. Yeah, so it gives you a lot of information. And I think we're seeing more and more of these type of devices. Right? So there you go. Pretty simple.
Wi-Fi connected, you said, correct?
I believe it's Wi-Fi or Bluetooth, yeah.
And what are your thoughts on this whole kind of the way I see these little gadgets is
doodads.
The term that I see thrown around is IoT.
IoT.
Right? Internet of everything.
Right.
Buzzword. And like, I always see, like, this, you're going to buy this down at Lowe's or Best Buy or like one of those places, right? Just kind of off the shelf. And nothing against this company by any means, right? But that's yeah. where I see one of these little devices. And it's kind of like the DIY of home tech, sort of.
I think that's one step above the one I just showed.
Yeah. I mean, I see these things going to like $5 or $10, you know, in no time. So, I mean, $99.95, you know, right now is kind of fun in CES or whatever, but
yeah.
It's such a simplistic plastic kind of thing. Well, I shouldn't say simplistic because I could never invent this thing. But these type of things, yeah. I think they're going to be sort of for everything. You know, we're going to see a whole bunch of this stuff. You know,
that's
I
cool.
feel bad for our landfills, but
yeah.
Nice.
4,000 right, measurements dude. In 2 seconds in your face.
Dude, Johnny, you're up, Mac. Your picks.
I feel like I didn't bring enough to the show here. Hold on a second. Let me
that's all right.
try and figure out how to use technology like an adult over here. And
you're the audio guy.
Screen share. Well, okay, in terms of technology and share. Okay, so some of the biggest companies or audio this year at CES was a company called ELAC, right? Bookshelf speakers. A little hint, though, bookshelf speakers, if you will, actually sound better when they're not sitting above your ears and away from the listening area. They actually sound better on a stand or at where you're sitting down. So while they have gotten the term bookshelf speaker because they fit cutely on a bookshelf, they sound better away from the wall and ear level. Just like if you go to a movie theater, you probably want to sit eye level to the center of the screen and somewhere in the middle where you have left and right ear level, and they're aimed for ear. But ELAC, or I believe I'm saying that correct, ELAC, is probably one of the larger companies to come out this year out of nowhere, really. Good stuff there. And another thing called PlayFi by DTS, a sound company that most of you have probably heard of, maybe not. PlayFi is being distributed to the best way I could compare this to would be like if I'm sure you've heard of the company Sonos, S-O-N-O-S, Sonos.
Yep.
Wireless distributed audio system. Well, PlayFi, made by DTS, to my knowledge, is their way to get big manufacturers on board. It's app-based, right? So you use your phone to use Pandora, whatever your premium service or preference is. Pandora, Spotify, Apple Music, and iTunes Radio, whatever that's not free, sent to a Bluetooth of sort of method, but at a higher quality or resolution. So it's a new method, I guess, of streaming audio to a little hub, if you will. Kind of like the little smart Wi-Fi
very interesting
thing, right?
Yeah.
Lastly on that list would be DTS:X, same company DTS, but it's their version of Dolby Atmos, which is a new surround sound method, if you will. To step back, Dolby Atmos is a sort of object-oriented surround sound. So as most people, if you've heard of 5.1, 5.2, 7.1, 9.2, something like that, you have left, center, right, rears, rear surrounds on a linear level, ear level, if you will. With Dolby Atmos, it adds a height level, so you have all that and two channels above to create kind of a 3D object-oriented sound. Like if you and I walk out into the world, and not in theory, object is bounces around, and it's not just in one linear plane. It's actually coming from all around you. So it's kind of an immersive technology. And DTS, their X, is a spec that should be pretty big this year.
So is DTS:X then, is that software, or is it hardware, or is it both?
It's software that'll be built into the hardware currently. So it's a software that's probably licensed, just like Dolby Atmos is software that's licensed into hardware. If you go to the theaters, they do produce their own hardware, but the Dolby Atmos software is licensed to manufacturers like Denon, Marantz, etc.
Awesome. Very cool.
Wow. That's cool, man. Thank you. Wow. I'm glad we have an audio expert here. Now you know, you said that earlier that you know, you want things to be a little bit above you. Is that in sound? Is that a good rule of thumb to use when you're using bookshelf speakers and stuff like that?
Well, no. What I was saying was bookshelves, right? Like my bookshelf, it's usually up here, and I have a little Bluetooth speaker up here, and it sits above my ears in my bed because that's just how it happened to live. Yeah. However, if I were to bring it down to my ear level, it sounds better because I don't have to like try and adjust to where it's going past your ears. Mm-hmm. So while it doesn't sound horrible up above your ears, it actually is better at ear level. Mm-hmm. Sounds actually a lot better. Yes, exactly.
All right. You got me. You're the expert. Thank you for the explanation, sir. Anyway, yeah.
It's called moving technology, Greg. Actually moving something.
I'm sorry.
Cutting your pay grade, buddy.
I better bone up on that. Anyway, here's mine. Next up, the roll-up OLED, which has been talked about in different channels, but thanks to CNET here. Man, this is cool. I think it's just been a long time coming. I've read about things like this and the promise of OLED, so it'll be as thin as this, but man, this is cool. It's still concept, but this is cool. It's a curved OLED 8K TV they had as a concept at CES this year. Can you imagine? And it's only 0.18 millimeters thick, so it could be rolled up like a poster, they were saying. So it's just, this thing's just like crazy. I'll play the video here, but it's just, it's nuts, this thing. I mean, it's just, I don't know.
This reminds me of like another story that we talked about before. It was they were using something similar. I don't know if it's this bleeding edge type of technology for it was a shoe manufacturer that has this type of flexible screen display on the side of the shoe, so they could shoe itself, the skin of the shoe, could be any design that you want if you know.
Oh, hey, absolutely. Actually, I think we interviewed a couple people last year who was like developing this like touch screen technology that was curved, and so it was just this type of thing where it just changes the whole design mindset away from a flat object to this round object now, right? And they were saying is that everyone designs everything the same way because the technology forces them to, like if it's glass, it has to be a flat surface, right, or slightly curved. With this type of thing, I think the design methodology has to completely change, right? It was just something that, we don't have to have a flat surface anymore, right? So this is it's kind of cool. I don't know.
I think it's pretty cool. The fact that they're taking a curved or curvable OLED panel is awesome. Yeah. They've showed smaller version of this a few years back at CES.
Oh yeah, okay.
But this is a larger one that he's, very malleable. He's working with it. I think this is cool. The first time I saw this idea was on a sci-fi show called Caprica, and they're walking around. It's like their magazine. There's, to them, just and they read it, curve it up, throw it away, garbage. It's like their little newspaper, right? Yes. And I thought that, I'm like, well, that is cool, but to them it was just like, oh, whatever, I read the newspaper, threw it away, done. But for us, I mean, what if that's our next coming tablets, our next sort of interface to communicate, our smartphones? It's just common. Build that into homes, right? Build that into surfaces within buildings and surfaces that are curved. Talk about like cinemas and things like that that are curved. I've seen gaming stations like that at CES a few years back, and it was kind of, it's different. You had to sit really close in this curved dome, and I've sat in pods that are gaming, things like that.
Oh, okay.
But you couldn't play with them. It's solid. That's kind of neat. So if you could take it around and communicate, we could do this right now. I mean, that would be pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's funny because we're sort of right now we're sort of limited in sort of our pre-existing experiences, right? So traditional television or mobile devices. Well, so when I saw those shoes, I'm like, whoa, so this can be implemented in ways I never thought of. Baseball hats, for instance, or something like that. And who knows what else, you know?
Absolutely. Okay, well, let's move on. Adolfo, you up?
Yeah, man. So what do we got here? This thing is called the Spec Pocket VR. And I know everyone was talking about virtual reality, let me know if you can see this thing. What I like about this is it plays with, obviously, with Google Cardboard, right?
Yeah,
and sure. It's like some hardware, but it's super cheap, so all this stuff is coming, this one is coming fairly soon. It works with Samsung devices and certain Samsung devices and Apple at this point. They're going to expand the line. What I like about it is that it's cheap. They're going to sell this guy for $70. And it's much more mobile than what Google is currently offering. So this is something that you can actually fold up and take with you and have that cardboard VR experience. So $70 is really reasonable for this type of thing. This could actually get to a more consumers, you know. So yeah, Galaxy S6 is what they're saying, the iPhone 6S and 6 currently. And it's nice because it's cheap, it's sort of real world, and I think this is getting down to a level where actual people can use this as opposed to spending a ton of money on an Oculus or something like that.
Neat. Yeah,
Good morning, choking hazard. This is my favorite part of this. So in case you decide to put it in your mouth and try to swallow this thing, you will choke, just to be warned. Don't do it.
Oh my God. Well, I mean, I don't know. You know, I think that cardboard is really kind of cool. We got it actually a pre-version of the cardboard. I guess I got one for one of the apps that are coming out. There's not too many apps out there, but, you know, that's part of the problem is the content now. But
VR.
I mean, the Oculus Rift, I think, just went on sale, right, this week, right, or something like that because of a CES, right, for $600 finally, right?
And kind of drama with that pricing or something, I heard.
Was there? What was going on there?
I think the CEO had either underpriced it, the announcement, or overpriced it, something to that extent. Probably should have researched this more, but, yeah, there was some sort of really bad PR thing, apparently, but whatever. People are going to buy in droves.
He missed the zero on there.
An extra zero. It's like, ugh.
Oh, yeah. My God, yeah. Our revenue just went down to one-tenth of what our projections were. Oh, man.
So that was the spec.
That's neat. That's good. I mean, that's coming. That's definitely here. That's neat. Okay, anyone?
I got one. So because I'm big into home automation and building and homes and things like that. So 2016, I feel, is going to be the age of connected homes. And a few years back, I saw a connected, not toaster, but a microwave. And I thought, so I'm like, oh, that's neat, but at the same time, kind of dumb. Why do I want that? Why do I need that? Well, it's kind of where we're going. Everything is connected, as dumb as that sounds. And it's the future that we live in. So, Samsung actually has shown because they did one earlier, but like a large-scale screen on one of their quote-unquote connected computers, if you will. Mm. And let me see if I can get to it.
I love that, connected computer.
Right?
I love that term.
So, can you see this this refrigerator here?
Yeah.
Okay. So look, the screen on that door is massive. It's basically the entire door.
And it's Pandora,
right? So, I mean, I had friends years back. We just take one of those I can't remember the case. An iPad case. It's got a little magnetic grill in the back. Slap it to the refrigerator and do this, right? Oh, I would make a grocery list, things like that. Keep at the time like, oh, it's kind of neat. But what are we gonna do with it? It's my iPad, and it probably won't stay there for long. I'll probably carry it around the house. I'm not gonna buy an iPad to just have on the refrigerator. Well, this, it's got music. It's thinking of the terms of connected home, a connected appliance. Well, you can order food. You can play music in that room. You could probably, I'm assuming, it's not just localized to this room, and I highly doubt that there's speakers in this refrigerator. Mm-hmm. It's possible, but I'm assuming that it's meant to, once it's something's connected, it lives on the network. So everything living on the network has to go somewhere, and this was just another control interface, which is kind of neat, really. Yeah. I think some people might say it's dumb, and it may be kind of dumb. But again, this is the future that we live in.
It looks like Android there at the bottom, huh?
I know.
It looks like a big Android. Yeah, it does. Yeah, I think that. It could be BlackBerry running Android, but I don't know.
Yeah, I heard about that. decided, huh?
Yeah, and that's the world that we live in. Connected devices. it's a big thing, I think, for 2016. They showed a lot of that at CES.
Mm, very nice. Great pick there. Home automation, yeah, it's going to be interesting what kind of data you can get from that offline and stuff. So, let's go to my pick. So this is an interesting concept I wanted to show you guys. BMW introduced it at this year's CES. It's ditching mirrors for a side view camera system. I thought this was kind of okay. That's kind of different. Not sure yet. Well, if I could get used to that, considering the way we use side view mirrors right now, but you know, because you know, one way or another, they have to figure out how to
swim with whales.
Well, yeah, you like the commercial? It'll resume in 2 seconds, and 1 second, zero. Okay, so we're not gonna play the audio on top of that, but basically, there's the camera system as you see in the video here. I don't know. I have to get used to it because I think what they're doing is they're going to show you in a little bit. They're going to use the rear view mirror as the wraparound.
Oh, look at that.
Or looking around, yeah. And I don't know. I have to get used to that because that means I have to look into the center of the car instead of to the side as I normally do. And the claim for this is that there's so many accidents that happen because of blind spot stuff that you're not looking over your shoulder, you're not taking the second look.
Guilty as charged.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I'm as guilty as anyone else is. I'm probably three times that of Adolfo there.
It's my freeway.
It's my freeway. Get off it. Everyone else lives on one.
That's right. Get off of it. So, I wanted to get your guys' kind of impressions of, this kind of, it's a disruption to our kind of driving habit, but, maybe it makes some sense to have. Yeah, maybe it makes some sense to have a camera and put it right on the center console there, or the rear view mirror, and just kind of have a wraparound device and see what's happening. See, there's a little bit of close-up view there. They place it at the same place as a regular mirror. But
so it completely eliminates the mirror entirely?
Yeah, that's their claim. I mean, this is a concept car, so...
Right.
Yeah.
I almost feel like that they should have just built a camera behind the mirror...
Yeah,
and giving
the
option, but that's just my opinion. I don't design cars.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. But your opinion counts on this show, Johnny Moda.
I wonder, man, because I'm ready for the autonomous car, right? So, for us stupid humans, I mean, maybe this would, work kind of well. Only concern of mine is this another sort of illuminated screen to distract us, as opposed to just the real world lighting of a mirror.
Yeah, it just caught my eye because it was just something that
it's interesting though. Yeah. I mean, if it's a proof of concept, if it's working for them, then designers have figured it out, I suppose. I don't know.
I think it could be a good or a bad idea, right? One is it going to be more distracting from not looking at the center of the road because you're looking up at the mirror now, right?
Yeah.
Or although we were kind of doing that on the left or the right of the car before, now we're just kind of center up.
Yeah. I mean, could that be better because your eyes aren't moving all over the place anymore? Or?
The only way we're going to find out is the first couple crashes that go to court, I think, basically. Right?
Well, I think they should move the cockpit to the center. I think we should drive in the center now with a bubble around us.
Hey, man.
Take it out from the left-hand side.
I'm with Adolfo, man. When we get the autonomous cars, let the cars handle it. And again, when they all crash.
Yeah.
Take that to court. I'm like, hey, that my car was drunk and I had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
This is funny. No, maybe they need to disrupt the whole thing. Like I said, I think the driver should be in the center of the car, on the top.
I love it. Hey, can it just be a reflection of me the whole time on the screen, driving? So.
That'd be sweet. Just hanging out.
You're on my screensaver already, Adolfo.
Yeah,
don't
you know.
I see you.
That's right. Yeah, merge.
That is hilarious. Oh my god. Okay, Adolfo, you're up.
All right. So this one is by my favorite company that I use all the time, L'Oreal. So what it is? It's a wearable skin patch. And so what this does, this thing is, I forget what it is, like 50 micrometers thick or something like that. and it's for you people that need to worry about the sun, or you know, and how much you're getting. The thing changes colors, and for whatever reason, and comes with an app, of course, too, to God knows what, tell you that you're in the sun too long, or maybe track you or something. I don't know. Yeah, 50 micrometers thick. I just think it's kind of neat because it's some sort of almost like a wearable sticker type of thing that's smart in some sort of way that you get data from. So, I mean, if this is telling you something as simple as like as much sunlight as you're getting, who knows what other sort of use cases there are for this type of technology, right? I mean, Greg showed us a tiny thin television type of thing, but that you can use in different ways. How, you know, who knows what else, you know, this type of skin adhesion smart thing will provide.
I think we're gonna slap that sticker or skin adhesion to the on the underside of that curved OLED panel, and we'll be wearing them on our wrists, and that'll be our phones.
Attach it to that temperature device that Adolfo introduced a few minutes ago.
Yeah. L'Oreal, go figure, huh? Look at that.
Yeah.
Nice. Oh yeah. Wow. The makers of L'Oreal.
Okay. Wow. Chewbacca hair.
That's hilarious. Okay, Johnny, you have anything else?
That's kind of about all I got. I don't really have any like full articles. It's just a bunch of like gadgets and design-oriented lights and things like that I've saw.
So you guys saw like the drones, right? I mean, there was a gazillion drones. There was the personal transport drone.
I got
right?
one for you.
The China, out of China, of course, right? I believe it was.
Yeah.
Concept thing, and that's the first thing I thought, right? Did you guys ever see that video where some guy actually connected a ton of drones and he put like a chair in the middle of it and it's actually elevating him and flying him around?
Yeah. That's hilarious. I got one for you here, Adolfo. So the one you just mentioned. The first passenger drone. This scares the crap out of me, actually.
Is that an actual flight that they did with it?
You know, it looks like a bomb over Altamont Pass there. It scares the crap out of me.
But it'll end up like all those other, raptors.
You know,
chopped up by those things.
Dude, I, you know, we can't drive on the ground. How about in the air?
Oh, man. I know. Yeah, it was funny. When they were interviewing the guy, he's like, you know, talking about how, you know, horrible the commute is and saying, you know, that this is like somehow a solution to that. But I mean, it just seems like sort of when you add another lane to the freeway type of thing, where it just really kind of doesn't do anything, sort of. I don't know.
Yeah, like 3D airspace, boy. That's what we need to be driving up.
Gridlock again, yeah.
You know, and now you know, and they were saying that like, okay, like maybe what we could do is cap the airspace so there's airspace above, you know, that you know, obviously we can't go to 5,000 feet or 10,000 feet or something like that, but you know, maybe we could keep it, you know, within a certain limit. And wow, I mean, take a look at that DMV test now, huh?
Yeah. With like drone technology, I mean delivery technology and everything that's happening now too.
Whoa, you know, that's all I need.
Crowding the skies,
go in the air, and start crashing the drones and stuff. You know, taking out someone's Amazon delivery package.
Give me an autonomous drone. How about that? Huh? Autonomous car and autonomous drone, passenger drone.
Oh my God!
Don't let me fly anything.
Yeah, I think I saw another one that was a drone where it's like it's not a quadcopter, but it's just a single prop, and it automatically goes. I mean, it'll self land itself and take off. You just have to throw it in the air. It's almost like, you know, just throwing like a paper airplane in the air.
Right.
Oh man,
having drones is a little scary. I think that they're cool toys and stuff, but at the same time, I think what everyone is forgetting is that it's an aircraft.
And
you know, anyone can buy one. That's not a big deal. From little baby drone to full scale, I mean, you can't buy, you know, a Predator, but I mean, basically they are considered the same thing. You know, one's just a small scale deal.
Yeah.
I co-host a show where we have a former Black Hawk Army Black Hawk pilot turned a brigade air advisor for the former FAA UAS integration office employee. So now she is a consultant for drones. She served a lot of time in the military, and she knows so much about the airspace and drones and pilots. And So now she consults for it, and it's kind of a weird...
Wow.
Just ended up meeting this... She's pretty cool. She's actually really, really cool. Oh, wow. And every time we talk about drones, we always talk about, I'm like, well, what about all the laws, right? I mean, anyone can just go buy a little baby drone, but we're still, it's a little baby aircraft that you can't, you know, you can't fly next to schools and things like that, and bridges and tunnels. But yet we do it, and, you know, there are some of the really, really big ones that aren't cheap by any means, and it's, you know, if we're going to, you know, start hopping or flying cars and drones and things like that, like you said, it's another lane, and I think it's just kind of, it's going to get insane.
Yeah, man.
Sounds a little dangerous to me.
I could see one, like a Molotov cocktail, like a hoverboard, you know, just go on fire on the sky, you know. Can you imagine that? Oh, my God. You know.
So were you guys, like, surprised with, like, the lack of new technology or big news out of CES? I mean, there was no big story, really, per se, that was, like, groundbreaking or anything. I mean, there was awesome new hardware that we've seen, you know, really interesting routers and networking stuff.
Not which really.
Which is kind of neat, but...
Sometimes you find some cool stuff, but, like, you feel like that maybe there should have just been, like, a lot more innovation this year, or just not surprised that we didn't get it.
Yeah, but just there was no... Maybe the drone story was kind of it, but it was almost already there. Like, everyone is already aware of it because there was so much media coverage of things like you said, like FAA, new regulations, people having to register their drones. Yeah. That was already in the news, right? And it was already a consumer item kind of, but there was no real big, like, new thing, you know?
Yeah.
And out there. It just felt like, it didn't feel like that to me, or perhaps I didn't dig deep enough. I don't know if I should have, though, you know?
Well, you know, yeah. Johnny's been at CES, man. You know, I mean, everyone I talk to about CES says that it's changed dramatically from years ago now. I mean, and maybe even needs to, but, you know, a lot of them feel there's just so much hype and so many things that it's almost hard to get noticed now.
Well, when, like, the early big screen TVs, that was a big deal, but now it's like, ugh, an even bigger one. Okay, we went to, you know,
a curved
3K
bigger
to 4K. We went, you know, 80K, you know?
Yeah, that's how it feels, you know, bigger, thinner, better quality resolution. It costs double.
Right.
But there's no content to support this resolution on a panel anyway, but it's coming, and that's kind of how it's been. I think it's been tough, right? I think it's tough to be innovative for anybody these days, although you do see some of the gadgets, and you showed some of them, right? Whether they're really expensive or inexpensive, it's, oh, that's kind of a neat thing. You know, do I want that L'Oreal patch thing? That's actually kind of neat for what it is. Mm. It's a little thin patch. I mean, that's what are we going to do with that data? Where is that going to go next? That's I think that actually is pretty cool. Is there going to be multiple iterations of that, or is that just the starting point of what's to come, basically, right? Or is next year just going to be, okay, now we wear two. One is for health and one is for, you know, blood pressure or whatever. Or, is that going to be our new doctor, right? Is that thing going to give us everything we ever need to know when we're getting sick? Oh, you're developing cancer, and we can treat it now because we caught it early.
But there was no big ta-da, is the thing.
No.
You know, like, even Oculus was, or VR, I mean,
yeah,
Oculus,
like we've
been talking about Oculus for a year now, you know, and there was no big CES, you know, what it felt like companies had done previously is waited for this big announcement at CES and released, you know, the announcement or whatever, and tried to keep it under wraps, but this year I didn't feel like that was the case. Did you guys?
No. Because I'm in, like, an audio and stuff and automation and controls and lighting and all that good stuff, what I saw a lot was, you know, the little connected gadgets, right?
Yeah.
Whether they're standalone or not, it's more focused in the home. Like the Samsung thing, I'm like, okay, that's kind of neat.
Yeah.
Would anyone buy it? I don't know. Maybe, you know?
Yeah.
But it's probably ridiculously expensive.
Right.
But again, I think that's just what we're moving. But again, it was kind of like, okay, it's not the first time they've done that, so it wasn't like a ta-da. We made a better version of the one we did 3 years ago.
And you know, my impression is that, you know, people like Samsung don't want to get down to that level where they're developing everything. They want someone else to develop it, right?
So don't know. Maybe some ubiquitous. I mean, being the, you know, as Johnny mentioned, the connectivity of the home. I want my Amazon Echo to play nice with my Dropcam, to play nice with my Nest, and all to be integrated through IFT or some sort of service like that, and to play with my Hue lights also. I want that to improve, and I'm seeing micro steps in that direction, but there hasn't been a real clear-cut solution yet, it seems like.
I mean, you want a home automation internet, essentially, I guess, which is standardized that anyone could plug into, right?
I don't want an app for every, you know, one of these things, and I don't know.
No, point taken. I mean, you know, Samsung said, okay, here, we're going to go all open source on all our appliances, which kind of surprises me, right? They made that announcement last year, right? You know, if you use our framework, you could develop apps around or services around all of our smart appliances, right? And that, like, boy, that could infinitesimally grow, but, like, I think I take your argument there, Ben. I mean, you know, but how does it play with other things, right?
Good point. Or maybe there is one. I know Google's vying for a lot of this too, and you know, Amazon's trying to vie for it. I know Apple's trying to sort of to some extent vie for it and different things.
Well, Google bought a small company maybe a year and a half ago called Revolve, I think. And they were like a smart home hub, just like a Nest was, or just like
a Wink or something.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, right? And they all have their own individual hubs. But it's like you said, you each have an app. They aren't, and while they're all on your phone or tablet, they each are individual from each other. So it's like having multiple remotes.
Right.
Now, Revolve, again, has its own hub. But what it did is it linked all those together, and Google was smart and bought them out and absorbed that technology. Mm-hmm. To my knowledge, became a part of the Works with Nest program. And prior to that, a couple of years ago at Google I.O., they called it Android at Home, I think, and they kind of absolved that name, and it became Nest or Works with Nest and things like that. Mm-hmm. And actually at CES, another company, I think out of France or something like that, what are they called? It's a little remote, essentially, a handheld physical remote that works with Hue, that works with Nest, and it's to do what you're saying, Chris, because I don't want multiple remotes. I want a simple solution that does all that for me.
Right. It sounds kind of like nightmarish for the developers, because then you're probably playing like with you, like you said, whatever SDK is works with Nest, and then perhaps HomeKit and
those
whatever.
Would be the major two probably.
Yeah, whatever thing. So right now the kludge is IFT, right? Which is problematic at times too. You know, it's great, but sometimes it just doesn't work as great as it should, or we would want it to, whatever. Right. But it's free, so what the hell? I'm not complaining.
As long as there's an internet, there's always to be complaints.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. Especially if it's free.
Yeah. I think HomeKit and the Works with Nest program are going to be the two major. You know, Apple, Google, right? Whether Amazon, I know they're kind of starting to do their thing too. Mm-hmm. You talked about Amazon Echo.
Right.
Was there going to be more of that? I know some people that left a control company to go work for Amazon to help develop some of that stuff. And so are they going to be a major player this year? Maybe, maybe not.
Who knows?
I know that they're working on it.
Yeah.
Well, then you have the whole car thing, right? You know, where people are jumping on the Android or Apple operating systems now to kind of provide their own solutions, which is great, right? Because cars have been notoriously, very secular, very, very... Very, this is my operating system, and none of you other guys can play unless I tell you you can, right?
Right. So. You know what's really interesting about this, too, is that it seems to be like the center of this universe, the sun, so to speak, is content, right? So it really depends where your photos are, where your music is, where your movies are, where your video is, which could potentially dictate a lot of those things, right? So if your photos are on Amazon or your music is on Amazon and you're using Amazon Prime only for videos for whatever ungodly reason... And, you know, you might only go with that hardware solution, although there's not a lot of them. And then you could say the same for Google to some extent and for Apple, right? So it's strange how a lot of the branches, you know, for the analogy, come off of content for hardware, right?
Yeah. Hey, before we close here, I wanted to ask both of you home automation geeks with a newbie here. You know, I was thinking about this kind of the other day about, you know, the future of home automation, and I don't know, where do you guys see, kind of the chink in the armor, or kind of the the weaknesses in really bringing that to usefulness for all of us? Or is it useful now? I mean, you know, Adolfo, you have a lot of connected devices in your home. Is there a limit to all this? Is there a limit of practicality for the average person? You know, not an early adopter like you guys? Or?
Johnny, what do you think?
Okay, so I think there's a couple responses that I can give you to that. Are you asking usefulness, right? Does it make sense to even go that route? Sure. I think a lot of it is convenience, and the other side of that could be, okay, it's kind of a luxury. But at the same time, it's convenience, which is great. If I can save an extra bit of time at home, which sounds kind of crazy, I'm at home. But if I can save time, you know, look at the Amazon Prime buttons, right? As dumb as it is, like, oh, I need more soap. Boop, order it. Mm-hmm. Okay, save X amount of time, whatever. But that's an automated, of sorts, device. And those buttons have been repurposed for other things as well. I mean, you can order whatever. You know, I don't want to order 1,000, you know, soap bars or whatever from Amazon. But the other thing is that I see about controls or automation or any connected device is always going to be the user experience. If it's clunky, I don't want to use it, right? If it doesn't work that great, I probably bought it and I used it once or twice and I kind of hate this thing. And that's going to leave a bad experience or taste in my mouth. I might tell someone the same thing. The last thing about that portion is no matter how many connected devices together I have and I want them, like Adolfo said, I want them all to work together in unison, that is the experience portion. It should work seamlessly. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter how well the control system or in each individual device works. They could be great, but it won't matter if they all live on a network that is horrible, because if the network doesn't work, your devices don't work. Mm-hmm. So,
Johnny.
No, good.
Your thought there? I think number one is it's cost, right? Obviously, a lot of this stuff now is if I'm buying a whatever $80+ Hue or $50 Hue light bulb, you know. That's pricey, and this has to come down in price, and it will. I think all this stuff will come down, but there's a lot of also additional benefits too, like safety, right? So a lot of it is security. Home security is an obvious one with the drop cam, or you want to, you know, I have grandma here at the house who's getting older in age, and she wants to be able to call for help or for me to see if she falls or something like that real quickly. And then, you know, productivity with things like Google Now, or is that what it's called, Google Now, right? And things that tell you you need to get to your appointment at 6 o'clock, and if my Echo can tell me that, or I could just tell my Echo, which I do now, add X to shopping list, if shopping is the priority. There's all kinds of benefits, you know, you're to that type of thing, too. So it's productivity, security, convenience, and then I think prices being driven down over time and making these things truly commodity type of items will happen. It'll enhance, supposedly, our lives.
If you take that same statement and consider that we are already doing that with our iPhones and Android phones via voice commands,
yeah.
Apply that to the rest of your life. I mean, it is already enhancing our lives with a smartphone by saying, you know, call, remind me to call so-and-so, you know, I have an appointment with Greg and Adolfo at 5. Right. Schedule that. Remind me. And just do it for me, and then remind me because I'm busy doing whatever. The convenience is there. It's already added. And I guarantee we all have one of these devices. That's the world we live in. So take that and apply it to your business or your home.
So it's like, how is with you now?
Kind of, yeah.
How is with you now?
Well, Skynet will be launched soon.
You guys brought up an interesting point, which I also wanted to ask you about, is this promise of this seamless life, right, where you go from you're watching, let's say, something on YouTube or something like that, and, oh, shoot, I have to get on the boat, or I have to get on into my car. So go into my car, pick up where I'm at, left off again. I mean, is that something that is part of this lifestyle that they keep on claiming that we need to have?
That's nice. I love that. I mean, I love being able to pick up a podcast where I left off, whether it's at home or an audiobook or on my Kindle, an actual book that I'm reading, you know, a text. That's fantastic. And I always go back to what Phil Libin told me 100 years ago in his early at SF New Tech, you know, you guys were there, when he was saying, you know, pitching Evernote and your brain in the cloud and how I thought that was the worst pitch in the world, and I was thinking, this is ridiculous. But now it really is. It's happening, right? It's this, I don't know, cognitive load or stuff you had to remember, phone numbers and things like that, that you don't anymore, right? But I guess right. What that allows for is for you to think about other important things, hopefully, or not important things, and we'll all be on the cruise deck of Wally, you know, floating around in chairs. I don't know.
Well, thank God for that forgot your password button at the top bottom of sign in.
Yes, perfect analogy. Your brain in the cloud. And I guess the only downside that I can see, right, but it doesn't really matter because we give it away anyway, is our personal data that's associated with that.
Yeah, yeah.
But everyone does it.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, you know, if it's convenient, we'll do it.
It seems like a generational thing, though. You know what I mean? I heard these, let's say, people with more gray hair today telling me, we're amazed by the younger people, is what they call them, their ability to not, you know, prioritize privacy anymore. Ooh. It's just a different camp, you know what I mean? I can respect that. You know, I can respect that
view. Of course. Yeah. I mean, that's why I said it was interesting, is that that's another way of looking at it.
Yeah, I know, like what? Joe Rogan often says something like, it's over. He thinks privacy's over in the future. There'll be no privacy and everything's just going to be out in the open. We're going to know each other's all our dirty secrets, right? And it's just going to be the norm. Greg.
Look at you,
that's
Greg.
Why you only see me from above.
Yeah. And your speakers, dummy.
Oh, you guys. Well, anyway, you want to close this off? We're getting a little bit ratchet here.
Yeah, okay. Well, thanks, everyone, for watching and listening, Nerdstalker. And I am Adolfo Ferrando, just to remember again, at A. Ferrando on Twitter or at Nerdstalker on Twitter. Johnny, where can we get more information about you?
I'm on Twitter at JMOTA3, JMOTA3. I say stuff and things. It doesn't always make sense.
And I'm Greg Gloria, awesome. A.K.A. Social Greg on Twitter for the Nerdstalker Media Network, where we believe in tech, startups, design, and you. Thanks for joining us, everyone, and be careful out there. Thanks, guys. Great show.
I know.